Texas to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
With that being said, we're going to jump right into our message for today. We're in this series that we've been calling Finding Happiness in an Unhappy World. And just by a show of hands, how many of you guys want to be happy? It's not a trick question. You want to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. I think all of us should want to be happy. But as we've kind of been talking about throughout the course of this series, the problem with happiness in our context and in our society is people go about different ways to achieve happiness only to kind of find out that they're not really happy by going those routes. And so this series is designed to help us tap into what true happiness looks like. And the thing I want us to understand as we go throughout this series, and we're kind of at the tail end of this series, is that Jesus has given us this blueprint for what happiness can be and how we can achieve and how we can receive happiness. And let me help us understand something. It's not going to come by a way of a new job. It's not going to come by way of new relationships. It's not going to come by way of more money. It's not going to come by way of new hair, you know, all that type of stuff. It's not going to come by any of that. None of those things are inherently wrong. But if we're looking to those things to bring us happiness, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Because those are all things that are temporary and can easily be taken away from us. And so God is much more concerned not with us feeling better, but becoming better. Like God's version, Jesus' definition of happiness is more about us becoming good than feeling good. In our societies, happiness is always about a feeling. And Jesus is like, no, it has nothing to do with a feeling. It has everything to do with your identity. It has everything to do with actually who you are. And so this series is all about speaking to that and discovering how we can become happy. And so we're actually walking through the book of Matthew chapter 5 through this section of scripture in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. They're typically called the Beatitudes, but they're a part of this greater narrative, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is preaching to this crowd of people, including his 12 disciples. And he's really given them a layout as in a picture as to how people who are part of the family of God should look. But also, it is designed to be a picture to this world of what being a part of God's family looks like and how it is a blessing to be a part of the family of God. In other words, Jesus is saying that when you begin to implement and when you begin to abide by what he's saying here, your life not only benefits from it, but the lives of other people around you begin to benefit. Matter of fact, I would almost even push the envelope and say, true happiness is not just connected to you, but true happiness is also how others benefit from it. So if you're the only one who benefits from that promotion, that's not true happiness. And oftentimes we pray prayers like, God, would you bless me? Would you, pray of Jabez, would you increase my territory? For what? So you can get a bigger car? Who will get blessed because of that? And by all means, there's nothing wrong with wanting more, but the question is, why do I want more? Because if I just want more so that way I can get more and kind of enlarge my pockets, that's not really the vision and the blessing and happiness that God has in mind. He wants us to be something better than that. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and it's one verse. And we got it on the screen in case you don't have a Bible. And if you missed any part of this series, I would encourage you guys to go online and check it out because we got all of our message archived up there. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, here's what Jesus says. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, now, what does blessing have to do with happiness? Well, in the original language, that word blessed actually translates to this Greek word called makarios, which translates to happy. So essentially Jesus is saying, happy are those who are peacemakers, for they will be identified or called children of God. So what does Jesus mean by this? Peacemakers. What does being a peacemaker have to do with being happy? I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before or if you've kind of observed a fight. But there's typically a few different characters. You got one person who's getting beat down. You got another person who's distributing the beat down. And then you may have some bystanders who are just kind of sitting there watching, But then you have somebody who kind of comes out of nowhere to try to break up the fight. And we would kind of, you know, say that they may kind of portray the role of a peacemaker. Now, I'm not going to ask us if we've ever been in a fight before, because I don't want you to lie and say, like, yeah, I've been in a fight and I won, even though you got an 0-something record, right? Like, some of you guys are like, yeah, I would win that fight. No, you ain't want to fight a day in your life, right? Now, some of us have been the bullies. Some of us were the ones that would just walk up to somebody back in high school, back in middle school, and just for no reason, just start picking on people. Right? Back when I was growing up, you know, wrestling was real big, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was big, and The Rock was big, and so we would just, like, walk up to random people and hit them with a Stone Cold Stunner. Just immature. Just dumb. Just do stupid stuff like that. But it was fun, I'm not gonna lie. But sometimes that stuff will spiral into a fight, because it's like, how would you like somebody just to, out of the blue, come and give you a Stone Cold Stunner? Like, you're gonna fight somebody. But then the teacher would usually come and kind of break up the fight. They would essentially be the peacemaker. And oftentimes in life, you and I will be in situations where we will have to be the peacemakers. Jesus will intentionally allow us to go through life situations just so that way we can bring peace to a situation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This message may be a little rough for some of us, for many of us in here. Because what we would have preferred to say, Jesus to say, is not happy are those who are peacemakers, but happy are those who get people back. I mean, let's just be honest. It feels good to get people back. Are y'all too safe for me this morning? Y'all want to be honest? Like, it feels good to return to somebody what they did to you. Right? Y'all going to be super safe with me, or y'all going to be real this morning? Like, it feels good. I'm not saying it's right. It just feels good. They cuss you out on the job. You want to cuss them out on the job. You know it was wrong, but you're like, man, it felt good. You ain't think about the consequences, you just did it because it felt good. But as a believer, as followers of Jesus, God has called us to something much greater. Matter of fact, here's what Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 18 says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Hold the forts. Don't repay anybody evil for evil, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they offended me. You don't know how they cut me off. You don't know how they messed me up. You don't know how they abused me. And Jesus is saying, no. What you did to them is nothing compared to what you did to me. Or what they did to you is nothing compared to what you did to me. So he's saying, if I can forgive you for the heinous thing that you did towards me, surely you can do the same for other people. Then Paul continues on in that verse, in the next verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it's possible, live at peace with everyone. Now, I warned you, this is not going to be one of those messages that you probably wanted to come to church to hear this morning. Because I got a feeling that many of us, probably all of us, have been at a point and juncture in our life where people offended us, where people hurt us, or where we offended people, or when we hurt people. And the last thing that you were thinking, the last thing you had in mind was being a peacemaker. The last thing you had in mind was not getting the person back. That was the last thing you had in mind. You had in mind to get that person back for what they did to you. But Paul, the word of God, gives us this command to be at peace with everyone. Then Romans 14, 19 says this, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Let us do everything we can to do everything that leads to peace. In other words, we need to go out our way to make sure peace is happening. But let's just be honest, man, that's easier said than done. Come on, are y'all going to be real with me this morning, or am I just going to be talking to myself? Like, it's much easier to hold a grudge against somebody. And oftentimes, I've come to find out, because I've seen my own life and seen the things that I do, we'll do everything we can to keep the tension rather than just address it and destroy it. So it becomes like the elephant in the room. It's like everybody knows that there's a problem, but don't nobody want to talk about it. Right? Y'all ever been in situations like that? Y'all ever been in encounters and relationships like that and been in friendships like that where everybody kind of knows, like, there's a beef here, there's some tension here, but nobody wants to take the first step to initiate reconciliation. But God's word says, for followers of Jesus, there's no choice in this matter. You're called to be a peacemaker. So we'll stay mad at that person. We'll hold a grudge. We'll remain content with conflict. And let me just be real. Let's just be honest about it. Like, if you're holding a grudge against somebody right now, let's just be real. It's exhausting to stay mad at somebody. It takes too much energy, man. Okay, I got to remember not to talk to you when you walk in the door. Okay, I got to go out my way so that way I don't see you. It's like, it's exhausting. It's frustrating. And the question I want to ask you today is, aren't you tired of dealing with that? Because if Jesus says, happy are the peacemakers, if you're not making peace with those areas in your life, I would be willing to argue that you're not happy right now. You're frustrated. You think about it all the time. You're restless. You have no peace of mind. We're called as believers to be people who help to reconcile difficult matters. We're called to bring wholeness. We're called to not be divisive. We're called to be people who act ultimately united. So Jesus is ultimately saying that peacemakers are happy. Peacemakers are blessed. Peacemakers are those who are part of the reconciliation aspect, not just to God, but also to one another. Happy are the peacemakers. I believe that many of us in here would be so much more happy if we would just settle the grudge. If we would just get rid of it. Like, seriously. I believe that our stress levels would go down. Like, y'all realize that there's, like, medical connections to holding grudges to people. I shared with you guys last week that the number one cause of deaths of people in America over the past few years is not cancer, it's not diabetes, it's heart disease. And it's not just because of bad eating habits. It's due to stress. It's due to anxiety. It's due to people not forgiving. It's due to bitterness. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. That maybe God is trying to get us to the point where we begin to bury the hatchet with people and help others to bury the hatchet with people. So that way the peace of God can flow. So that way the joy that Christ wants to give to people can flow into their lives. Maybe that's what God is trying to give us to. I told you it's going to be a tough message today. But man, it's good medicine. Because many of us are saying, man, I want to be happy. And you thought that by making more money, you would be happy. You made more money, you found out you weren't happy. Because you still got that grudge over there with that person. Something that they did years ago, you still haven't let go. Here's the crazy thing about it. They're not even thinking about it no more. You're the only one suffering from it. And by all means, I'm not excusing what they did, but at some point, you got to get to the realization where it's like, God, I no longer want to be held hostage by this pain anymore. I want to be set free of this. I want to be delivered from this. So Jesus says that peacemakers are blessed. They're happy. I want to look at just a few attributes of a peacemaker. Number one, I want to talk about the heart of a peacemaker. Because I think when Jesus says peacemaker, we can kind of mean and think a whole lot of different things. But at the core of it, a peacemaker has a certain type of a heart. And we kind of talked a little bit about it last week. I'm going to go a little bit more into it this week. Last week we talked about Jesus says, blessed or happy are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. A peacemaker has a certain disposition about them. People who are true followers of Christ are people who are peaceful, not divisive. In other words, they don't just go looking for a fight. They don't just go trying to stir stuff up. They don't just go to try to, they don't just walk up to somebody and just punch them in the face. That's crazy. Right? They don't get on social media trolling people and just trying to find somewhere where they can just interject a negative comment. That's not a peacemaker. That's a divisive person. And there's no happiness in that. There's no peace in that. Not at all. Jesus says, peaceful people, peacemakers, they have a certain type of a heart. Here's the question I want to ask you. Do you and I have a reputation for being a troublemaker or for being a peacemaker? What's our reputation? If you were to go to people on your job right now, if there was to be like kind of be like this kind of secret shopper mentality and random people just to go up and ask people at your job who don't really have any relationship or connection to you, like, how is such and such? Are they more of a troublemaker and a peacemaker? Would they be like, man, they're the absolute angels of God? Or would they do something like this? They'd like peek around the corner to see if you're there? Well, let me tell you about them. They stir up trouble all the time. Whenever they come around, nothing but tension. Whenever they come around, everybody hates each other. Whenever they come around, the air just gets sucked out of the room. You know people like that. Be careful. Maybe you're the person. Maybe the person sitting next to you is like that. But God says peacemakers are people who want to bring wholeness, who want to bring unity, who want to bring reconciliation. But here's the thing that you got to understand about being a peacemaker, that in order to give peace, you first have to have it. You can't give something that you don't have, right? Some of us right now, like you're in a relationship with some people, you're frustrated with them because you're like, man, why won't you love me? Why won't you care about me? Because they don't have it yet, right? You can't expect somebody to give you something that they've never received for themselves. And we can't expect to give something to somebody if we've never received it for ourselves. So the only way that you and I can give peace to somebody, it starts with us receiving peace for ourselves. And the only way that you can receive peace is through doing what the Word of God says. Here's what Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 2 says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As you keep reading, it says this, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Here's what I'm saying in plain language. The only way that you and I can get peace is through a relationship with God, through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way a person can truly be at peace. Peace doesn't come through any other source except Jesus. And until you are at peace with God, you will never have peace in your relationships. So really, our relationships with others, or the lack thereof, really becomes a reflection of our relationship, or the lack thereof, with God. And God is saying, until you get the peace that I give you, because, by the way, I am the Prince of Peace, until you get that, you'll never be able to have peace, nor will you ever be able to distribute it to others. Jesus calls us to be people of peace. The eternal Son of God, Jesus, he's brought peace between us and God the Father. Because hey, I don't know if you knew this, by the way, but Scripture calls us, before we come into a relationship with God through faith in Christ, calls us enemies of God. In other words, there was hostility between God and us. Not because of anything that he did, but because of our rebellion, because of our wickedness, because of our disobedience. It caused enmity or division or hostility between us and God. And the only way that can be rectified is because it's through what God did for us and sending his son Jesus to be the mediator, the peacemaker between us and God the Father. So here's what Jesus says. I'm going to bring you peace so that way you could be a part of my family. Because you have no shot at being a part of my family if I'm not the one who extends peace first. And that is called the grace of God. It's God doing something for us that we did not deserve. If there was anybody who had the right to hold a grudge against us, you know who it would be? Jesus. Because he did everything right. But do you know what he said when he was on the cross being crucified for people's sins? Not his, but for other people's, us. Do you know what he said while he was on the cross being tortured, being brutally murdered? You know what he says? Father, get him back. Bring down these angels. All of them taking the L right now. Michael, come on down, dog. Gabriel, go to work. No, you know what he says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is what peace looks like. Where I can say, even if I'm being offended, even if I'm being hurt, Father, forgive them. And the only way you can do that is if you have the peace of God. And if you're in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, you have received this peace. Jesus came and brought peace to us, and he's called us to go and take peace to other people. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this, that at the heart of a peacemaker is the peace of God. A peacemaker's heart is filled with the peace of God. Now, it'd be one thing if we just kind of left it there, but Scripture is filled with plenty of people who didn't have the peace of God and then received the peace of God, and their lives were radically transformed. And one particular character in the Bible who we've probably heard a whole lot of if you've been a part of a church is this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. And before he turned into what we know as the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul, and he persecuted the church every day. He looked for Christians to kill. He looked for Christians. Matter of fact, if we were in this first century context having a gathering like this, the Apostle Paul would do everything he could to come in here and arrest all of us so that way we could be tried and executed. That's who Paul was. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 1, he says this, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Mind you, this dude tried to destroy the church. That's you. Paul hated you before he came to know Christ. Hated you. I'm not talking about like unfriend you on Facebook, hated you. Like, I'm not following you no more. We're not Facebook friends no more. So? No. Paul despised you. Notice what he says. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age and among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Paul says, I went from being a persecutor to a peacemaker. And the only way that happened was because of the grace, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the faithfulness of God. That's the only way it happened. But it gets better. When you go down to verses 21 through 24, he says this, then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. Only Jesus can do that. He is the only one who can bring peace to a person who has no peace. He is the only one who can bring peace to a divisive, to a hateful, to an evil person like Paul, and also to an evil person like you and me. He's the only one who can do it. And here's the good news. He's willing to do it. That's why he says, I've come to give you peace. Paul goes from being a persecutor to a peacemaker. A peacemaker is one who is at peace with God and therefore wants to make peace with other people by sharing the peace of God. Peacemakers, they want to make peace with others because it builds a bridge for others to come to know God. That's what they want to do. Peacemakers want to see communities reconciled to God. Peacemakers want to see families that are drifting apart where there's hostility on one side and people over here and people over here. Peacemakers want to see families come back together. Peacemakers want to see people who are on the street and have no hope and have no life and have no direction. They want to see those people begin to step into the promise, into the will of God for their life. Those are the peacemakers that Jesus is talking about. The question is, are you a peacemaker? Because that's what he's called you and I to be. Peacemakers, they want to see people in a covenant relationship with God and in community with others. Peacemakers want to see their own relationships mended. Peacemakers want to see broken relationships restored. Peacemakers want to see enemies become friends. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? To see people who have nothing in common except hating one another and now beginning to enjoy life with each other. Matter of fact, that's what happened in the Bible time, y'all. Jews and Gentiles hated one another, but through the blood of Christ and through what Jesus did, he created one new humanity called the church, called the people of God, called the family of God, and it was made up of former enemies. So he would take black people, white people, Asian, Latino, so on and so forth, old, rich, poor, middle class, whatever, and he made them into one family. At the core of the gospel is the peace of God. So when Jesus says, blessed or happy are the peacemakers, why? He says this because when we are extending peace, we are exemplifying what he did for us on the cross and what he achieved. And this is why for me, I have a hard time when I hear Christians say, I can never forgive you for what you did. How can you say you can't forgive them for what they did when Jesus forgave you for what you did? How in the world can we say that? But you don't know how they touched me inappropriately. No, but I know that your sins put Jesus on the cross. And if God the Father can forgive us for doing that, man, who are we not to extend grace to other people? Blessed, happy are the peacemakers. Peacemakers want to see all types of people become a part of the family of God. And not only do peacemakers have this desire, not only do they have this heart, but the second thing and the last thing is, they have certain habits about them. So we've already talked about the heart of a peacemaker. I want to talk for a few moments about the habits of a peacemaker. The habits of a peacemaker consist of actions that are taken to see reconciliation and healing take place in relationships and in the lives of others. In other words, peacemakers aren't just people who say, man, I'm just praying for peace. No, do something. Do something. Faith without works is dead. Man, I'm just praying that they'll come back together. What are you doing to help them get back together? Because like, as Christians, we like to kind of stay in our safe little Christian bubble. We like to spiritualize it. But Jesus is like, no, put some action behind it. What if Jesus was just in heaven saying, man, I hope they can get to heaven. I hope. I'm hoping. No. He came down from heaven so that way we can be with him in heaven. There has to be action and substance behind this thing. And so here's what Matthew 5:21-24 says. This may convict some of us because it convicts me. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Some of you guys like, haven't murdered nobody. I'm good. But check what Jesus says. He says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister, angry with a brother or sister. In other words, any person who's holding some type of resentment towards somebody will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in the front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Some of you guys are like, Jesus, you lost me when you said Raca. What does that mean? Here's what Jesus is saying. No spiritual act that you do is worth anything when there's tension between you and somebody else. He's essentially saying this. It's easy for us to come in here and lift up hands and say, what a beautiful name it is. That there is no rival, there is no equal. But in the meantime, you got some serious hostility with the person at your job. Like, it's easy for us to talk about, God, you're so awesome, you're so loving. And Jesus is like, but you got a major problem with the person on your job. You don't want to speak to him. He says, before you come and offer worship, before you come and do some nice spiritual acts, which are good, not saying it's bad, he says, go reconcile with people. And let's be honest, I found it to be much easier to come in here and to lift them hands and to sing and to serve and to preach than it is to face somebody who offended me, than it is to own up for some things that I've done. Let's just be honest, it's much easier just to come in here and gloss over all that stuff than it actually is to confront things for what they are. And Jesus is saying, go reconcile. Go reconcile. Some of us came in here this morning, some tense relationships. There's some peace that needs to be present in some relationships because there is no peace. And Jesus is saying, hey, you've come in here, I've heard your worship, I've heard you singing, and it's awesome. You sound amazing. You're doing a great thing. You're serving, you're doing this, that, and the other. But how about you go reconcile with that family member that you haven't talked to in years? Because that's big boy Christianity right there. That's real stuff right there. That's like truly loving your neighbor as yourself. Like, we like to stop at love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, I just love you so much, Jesus. You're just so awesome, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross, for paying my sins. Thank you for your resurrection. Jesus is like, okay, cool. You're awesome. You received that. Go love your neighbor. No, Jesus, I can't do that. No. Jesus is like, no. Because how can you say you love me, but then hate your brother who you see all the time? A true peacemaker is somebody who goes and reconciles. Jesus, he's not dismissing acts of worship. He's trying to put them in their proper perspective. Here's what Colossians chapter 3 says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And here's a major F-bomb that Paul drops. And forgive one another. I don't like that. Forgive one another. I was telling my wife, Ariel, while I was kind of prepping, I was like, you know, every time I preach a message on forgiveness in our church, man, I get some bad looks. If y'all could just see y'all faces when I start talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, people start checking out, people start fidgeting, people get on Twitter and on Facebook and, you know, start checking text messages and sending emails knowing they ain't got no email on the phone. People just start doing random stuff. Because you know that God is calling you to do it. And so Paul says, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to be peace and be thankful. You were called to be people of peace. God is calling us to be peacemakers. He's calling us to be people who are intentional about seeing people in a relationship with God, but also seeing relationships restored. I believe that many of us want to see people become a part of the family of God. What if the path for people to become a part of the family of God is you going to them and apologizing for what you did years ago? Right? Maybe they're like, I'm not coming to church with you because you just glossed over the fact that you offended me years ago. And they're like, I'm not coming with you until you own up. Maybe God wants to work through that so that way he can reach them. Right? God is concerned about where we are as it relates to our hearts and being peacemakers. Here's some things that peacemakers do. Peacemakers prioritize relationships over being right. They prioritize relationships over being right. In other words, they say things like, I don't care about being right here. I care more about the relationship. I want us to be good. I don't care about what you did. I don't care whether or not I'm right or if I'm wrong. I just want us to be right. That's what a peacemaker says. They prioritize relationships. A peacemaker says, I value the relationship more than I value being right. Sometimes being a peacemaker means you got to take ownership for what you did. And nobody wants to do that. Because me taking ownership over what I did means me acknowledging the fact that I messed up. But that's the pathway for reconciliation to happen sometimes. You got to take ownership of it. You got to own it. So you got to own the fact that you did hurt them. You got to own the fact that you did mess up. You got to own the fact that you weren't faithful. You got to own the fact. You got to own it. Because until you own it, until you accept it, no healing can take place. That's why Alcoholics Anonymous says the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. You got to own it. You got to confess it. You got to be honest with it. You got to be real with it. Because until that happens, nothing can take place. And my question I want to ask you is, aren't you tired? I'm tired of this mic. But aren't you tired of having tension with that person? Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you frustrated by it? Aren't you to wit's end about it? Aren't you sick and tired of there being this animosity between you and that person? Like, are you ready for wholeness to take place? Are you ready for peace to take place? Peacemakers, they don't avoid conflict. They address it in a godly way. Because a lot of times we think that in order to be a peacemaker means that I don't address conflict. No. There's always going to be conflict. Man, let me be honest. Me and Aaron, we've been married for almost 6 years. We've been together since we were in college. We've had plenty of times where we're having a conflict with one another. Conflict is not the issue. It's how you handle conflict that becomes the issue. Do you address it? And do you address it in a godly way? Because our natural disposition is just to sweep things up under the rug and just to ignore it like it didn't happen. But God says, no, you got to address it. You can't avoid it. You got to deal with it. You got to call a spade. You got to be real. You got to keep it 100. I don't know how many other analogies I can use to get your attention with it, but you got to face it for what it is. So some of us are you're holding grudges against parents because they weren't good to you when you were growing up. You got to face it. You got to take ownership of it. You got to call it what it is. Maybe that means you got to have a face-to-face conversation with them. Maybe the person who said they were going to be there for you, they walked out on you and you're still trying to heal up that wound, but you will never be able to heal up that wound until you actually address it and face it head on. And so we can say, God, would you heal me of this? Would you heal me of this? And God is like, I won't heal what you hide. I won't. But will you bring it out into the open? Because when you bring it out into the open and when you bring it out into the light, that's when my grace will cover it. That's what God is trying to do. That's what God is trying to get us to. Peacemakers are not argumentative. They're not always looking for a fight. Peacemakers aren't always trying to stir up the pot and cause hostility. Peacemakers want to see reconciliation happen. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. The one area where I struggle when it comes to being a peacemaker is not in the area that you think. It don't got nothing to do with being at home. It don't got nothing to do with kids. They crazy, but it's not like that. Like, it has nothing to do with those things. You know what I struggle being a peacemaker? I'm going to be honest. On the basketball court. That's why I struggle the most. Because like what happened is like, you know, guys are getting intense moments and, you know, adrenaline is pumping and everybody's, you know, going up and down the court. And then all of a sudden somebody gets fouled or somebody calls a foul on you. And now all of a sudden you kind of feel like you lying on me, bro, because I didn't foul you. I didn't even touch you. And now you kind of start getting in this heated argument with one another. And then God convicts you. It's like, hey, you're called to be a peacemaker, right? How's this helping the situation? How's arguing working out for you, bro? I'm just being transparent. That's where I struggle with being a peacemaker the most, because I love basketball and I'm passionate about it. And I'm going to win. I want to win. I'm not always going to win. And while we laugh and joke about my experience, where's the area where you struggle with being a peacemaker? Maybe it's on your job. Maybe it's like, man, you were driving to work, you had Hillsong playing, you had Elevation playing, you had John P. Key playing, you had Fred Hammond playing, you had everything playing in your car. You were saying, this is going to be an awesome and amazing day. And the minute you walked into that office, everything broke loose. Isn't it crazy how God will allow us to be in these situations to bring about peace? But in order for him to bring about peace in our situations, he has to bring about peace in us first. Peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. And let me give you a little tidbit. This is kind of for free. You know, the people that you have the greatest conflict with, it's not people that you don't really know the best. It's typically with those who know you the best. It's those close relationships. I can't even tell you how many times I've gotten on Ariel's nerves. You notice I said I got on Ariel's nerves. I'm not getting in trouble. You're not going to set me up today. No. it's like things, the enemy works through those close relationships to cause division and to cause hostility. He works through those things. And God says, I'm calling you to be a peacemaker. I'm calling you to exemplify peace. I can't even tell you how many times, like, I've done just dumb things. And I know Ariel just wanted to, like, get a bat and just knock me out. But she didn't. She was a peacemaker. She's much better at being a peacemaker than I am. Now, in the moment, I don't feel that way. But when I step outside, I'm like, man, you're a peacemaker. I need to learn from you. Teach me, Rabbi. But where are you and I? Where are you right now? Because I believe that God is calling you to be a peacemaker as well. So maybe he's calling you to be a peacemaker in your marriage. Maybe it's like you stop getting upset about that small thing that they do. Man, they just leave their underwear everywhere. So get over it. Be a peacemaker. It's part of being married. Seriously. Oh my gosh, the people on my job, man, they're just crazy. Man, you know what? Are you going to keep blowing it up? Are you going to keep amplifying it? Are you going to keep complaining? Or are you going to try to be like, how can I bring peace to this situation? Oh, this is helping. Because you will never be happy until you begin to become a peacemaker. You will never experience wholeness until you become a peacemaker. And the question that you got to ask yourself is, am I handling this moment in a way that honors God and edifies others? Let me give this sticky statement, then I'll be ready to close. The happiest people are not the ones who cause problems. They are the ones who solve them. They are the ones who correct them. Those are the happiest people. Not the ones who are inciting conflict and creating conflict. No. The happiest people are the ones who are trying to bring peacefulness to a conflicted situation. And so why don't we be known as people in our community for being people of peace? Because at the core of the gospel, that's what it's all about. Like, maybe that's the path to us as a church, seeing more people come to know Christ. Like, when we planted this church, we didn't plant this church for Christians. We planted this church to reach people who are far from Christ. That was the whole purpose. That's why Jesus says that we're a light on the hill. So that way people can find their way to Christ. That's the whole point of it. And the only way that can happen is by us being peacemakers. And so if we're on our job and if we're in our neighborhoods and we're acting crazy just like everybody else, do you really think people are going to be attracted to Jesus like that? But as peacemakers, we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be people who lift up the banner of Jesus. We're called to be people who extend and invite to people to know the Prince of Peace. That's what it's all about. And I believe sincerely from the depths of my heart, man, that when you and I tap into this element, when we begin to extend peace, that will be some of the greatest testimony and tools that God uses to reach people. I've seen people even close to me. I've seen people in my own family that it had to happen where honest conversations had to happen. And through the honest conversations happening, reconciliation took place where people who didn't know God came into a relationship with God. Do y'all see this? Are y'all getting this? God is calling you to be a peacemaker. And I know it sounds like I'm being repetitive, and if it does, I am. Because I want you to get this in your heart. I believe that this is probably one of the most important Beatitudes of all of them. I believe that they're all connected, but I think this one stands out and sticks out like a sore thumb. And it's easy for Jesus to say this, some people may say, but not really. When you receive the peace of God, it's like no excuse. And I'm closing with this band. You guys can come up. We're going to pray. But the question I want to ask you is this. What person right now do you need to make peace with? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Who is God calling you right now to make peace with? And I think even as I'm asking this question, you know who it is. Somebody popped in your heart, somebody popped in your mind, and you know who it is. And it's interesting because I'm looking at all these amazing, beautiful faces, and majority of you guys have the same exact look, like, I know, but I don't want to do it. Remember what I said earlier. You extending peace is not just going to bring wholeness to the relationship. It's going to bring wholeness to you. You holding on to that thing that they did or that you did or whatever, I don't know. Do you know who's making it sick? It's making you sick. Do you know who it's causing the most stress to, the most anxiety, the most pain? You. You're suffering. And God is saying, are you ready to be set free? Because the path to freedom and happiness here is extending the peace that I've given you. In Christ Jesus. And I love the fact that God never expects us to do something for others that he hasn't already done for us. So he never calls us to extend forgiveness to others without him first extending it to us. And that's why he can command us to do it. He says, hey, if you're a part of my family is made up of people who make peace. It doesn't always feel good. It's not always popular. I know it goes against cultural grain. I know it goes against what society says. I know society says, man, they offended you, cut them off forever. Don't ever talk to them a day in your life again. But Jesus says, no, that's not the way. The way is to make peace with them. I know they hurt you. I know they offended you. But here's the reality. You also hurt people. You also offended people. Most importantly, you and I hurt and offended God. We grieved the Spirit of God because of our sinfulness, but God did not hold it against us. And that now becomes the ammunition and the fuel for what we do for others in extending peace. As peacemakers, we build bridges. We don't build walls, y'all. So our church is called the Bridge Church. Because we want to tear down every stronghold. We want to tear down every wall that separates people. We want to tear down every platform that divides people. We want to tear down everything that causes people to drift apart, which is why our church is committed to being a Christ-centered, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. Because one of the most pivotal things that's happening right now in our society is people are being divided amongst race. But in the family of God, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. In other words, there is no main ethnicity. There's one group, and it's called the body of Christ, the family of God. Called to make peace. Does it feel good? No. Is it convenient? No. Is it popular? No. Is it something that you naturally may want to do? No. But here's what I've come to find out in my own experience by extending peace to people. And by all means, I don't have it figured out, but I've just begun to learn this. That as you continue to extend peace, the healing takes place in you and it drives you to want to do it more. So for many of you guys, God is just calling you to take that first step. To take the step and extend the peace. Because you would be so surprised when you take the one step, what God has on the other side of that one step. But you will never see what's on the other side of that one step until you take it. And so I'm going to give you guys an action step today. Kind of a last statement, and I hope you tattoo this on your heart. Here's what I want you to do. My heart and my desire is that you would receive the peace of God through Jesus Christ. And that you would bring peace to the broken areas around you. That's what I want to give you today. That's what Jesus desires for us. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, my question for us is, where are you right now on this spectrum? Maybe this message is convicting. Maybe it's conjured up some painful experiences from your past. Maybe it's brought about some disruptions in your heart. Maybe God has brought to your attention and convicted you that you need to go reconcile with that person. You need to go bring peace to this person. Because when you do that, that is how people will know who are children of God. Because children of God, they are peacemakers. So I want to do two types of prayers. My first prayer is for those of you guys who are struggling right now to extend peace. Struggling right now to forgive. You know you got people right now in your life where there's no peace in that relationship, and there needs to be, and you know it. And if you're going to be honest about it, then healing can take place. And so I'm going to ask you to do something very brave. Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If this is you and you're saying, I'm tired of holding this grudge, I'm tired of this tension between myself and this person or these people, I want you just to lift up your hand so I can see you and pray for you. I want you to be honest today. Just be honest. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Be honest. If that's you, lift up your hand. Amen. Father, for every hand that is lifted, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will first remind them of the peace that you give through your son, Jesus. I pray that you remind them that they have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. And because they have received peace, you've also called them to extend it to others. And so I pray, God, for any of us here today who are struggling with this thing, that by your grace we can do it. That by your ability, by your mercy, we can extend grace and forgiveness and peace and love to others. And I pray that as we do this, that healing will take place in our hearts, that transformation will take place in our hearts, that a renewal will take place in our hearts, that life will begin to come back to us, that happiness and joy will begin to overflow in us. In Jesus' name. And while every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, man, before I can extend the peace of God to others, I need the peace of God for myself. I need to be in a relationship with God. And that only comes through believing in Jesus. And I've never made that decision. I've never given my life to Christ. And if you're saying, today, I want to give my life to Christ. Today, I want to be a part of the family of God. Today, I want to become a new creature. If that's your heart's desire, nobody else is looking. No heads are up. Not at all. It's just between you and God. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to pray for you. If this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning, would you lift up your hand just so I can see you, just so I can pray for you? Amen. 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 Awesome. Awesome. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning, repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you resurrected on the third day so that I can have life, so that I can have joy, so that I can have happiness, so that I can have peace. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church, let's make some noise for those who made a decision to give Christ their life. Come on. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Amen. Amen. So, hey, if you just prayed that prayer to give Christ your life, here's what I want us to do. Matter of fact, if all of us could do this just out of respect for those who gave their life to Christ this morning, if you could pull out that worship guide that we gave you when you walked in, it says connection card at the bottom. If everybody could just kind of pull that off for a second.